they can accomplish tasks for you. Okay,
right.
You will
right.
demand that. You will need that. So there will be millions and billions of agents. Okay, live on the internet, and then they will do transactions between themselves.
In 5 years,
we are talking about not even billions, trillions. We are talking about trillions agents.
Really?
Okay, there's no limit to the number there.
Welcome back to the China Shop. We're exploring the intersections of innovation, markets, and the future of technology. Today's episode, we're diving headfirst into the world of AI agents and blockchain with George Hu, founder of Dunback Meadow, a decentralized marketplace that's poised to become the economic backbone of the agentic web. Imagine a future where AI agents negotiate deals, handle transactions, and even monetize your creative content seamlessly, all without traditional banks or credit cards. George shares his journey from mechanical engineering to blockchain pioneer, the lessons from failed ventures that shaped his success, and a live demo where I create my own AI agent in literal minutes. Stick around because this conversation will change your mindset on value, innovation, and the agent economy. Now let's meet George. So George, you're with Dunback Meadow, is that correct?
That is right.
So why don't you tell me just a quick little bit about the company that you're with, and from there I'll probably start with background and we'll go into that route.
Dunback Meadow, I founded Dunback Meadow a few years ago. It's a decentralized marketplace for AI agents and other creative contents such as videos, audio, music, images, 3D models, anything digital and valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Creators can list them in the marketplace and have other people license from them or buy from them. And of course, that includes AI agents as well.
AI agent. I've been learning a lot about AI agents lately, so I'm kind of excited to hear a little bit more about what those are capable of. Is that something that we should be excited about or scared about?
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited about the AI agents. You know, this Dunback Meadow, I envision it to be a economic layer of the incoming agentic web.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by that? What is that?
Well, I mean, the internet so far does not have an economic layer on it, right? You cannot make a native payment on the internet, right?
Okay.
You have to use like other third-party credit card companies, banks.
Right.
The agentic web with an economic layer, you can imagine like billions, millions, billions, even trillions of AI agents that can logic, can reason, and they can also make transactions with each other. And when they make transactions, that becomes a gigantic web with an economic layer. You know, it's economic activities taking place between all those agents. Dunback Meadow will be a economic layer for that agentic web.
So you're envisioning a world where my agent and your agent will negotiate details of a contract and we don't even actually have to talk to each other other than to maybe sign the dotted line?
Right. Say you have a personal agent, right?
Okay.
And you want your agent to do some task for you. And some of the skills your agent may not have. So your agent will need to call other agents and other service provider agents, right? In order to call them, your agent will have to pay that other agent.
Right.
So there's some economic activities taking place there.
Huh. Right?
And of course, that all happening under the hood.
Right,
You don't need to know every detail about it.
So in this version of the way economics can take place over the internet, is there better security in this world? Is there less chance of my credit card details getting leaked out to the world or getting doxxed by data breaches and that stuff?
Right. Security, of course, it's actually indeed a concern.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you are not using your credit card, right?
Right.
Each agent, each agent will have its own like crypto wallet. Okay, you will deposit some money into your agent's wallet so that it can conduct transactions on your behalf, and you can always give your agent some budget, right? Tell him or her, hey, not exceed this budget where you accomplish these tasks.
Okay. How did you get into this? Right. Like, I think you said your background was like an engineer, right? So how did you?
I'm an engineer. I mean, what I'm doing right now is still engineering stuff. So still within the bigger realm of engineering. But yes, you're right. I originally I was a mechanical engineer, right? And I actually ran my engineering business, mechanical engineering business, for like over 10 years.
10 years? Oh, okay.
Starting,
wow.
Right, doing design for other projects. Like I mentioned to you, like 2018, I think, 7 or 8 years ago, I went to a blockchain conference, and I got to know a lot of exciting things. I was hooked, basically, from then on.
Do you remember which conference it was?
It was, I forgot the name, or the exact name, but it was a blockchain conference. It's in Harvard, in Cambridge.
Harvard, okay, yeah.
So I just, out of curiosity, I just went there, you know, I bought a ticket, and, you know, I met quite a few people, and all the things people talking are very exciting, you know, very new, brand new technology, and I see, you know, it was indeed a revolutionary technology, and I think, you know, the potential is huge to change and improve improve every aspect of our society, basically. Okay,
which
blockchain technology?
Which was the one that you got like excited, like, oh, I could do that?
Right. Well, yeah. I felt like there's so many things I can do with this technology, right? So I just kind of dived into it.
Was it hard to like pick one thing, or because it sounded like maybe there was a bunch of things you could have done?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I started with all the other projects people are doing, right? You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of projects people are doing with this cryptocurrency, with this blockchain technology. I just, you know, dive into all those projects and read the white papers. They were all very exciting, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, in the beginning, I was a little naive, right? They all sound so nice and exciting to me. But, of course, 99% of them all failed. They all, like, you know, shit coins people call.
Right.
You know,
why
do
you
think interesting, you know? I mean, they fail for all kinds of reasons. It doesn't mean that they're not good ideas, you know? Most of them are great ideas. It just somehow, you know, they don't succeed. They fail.
George, that's actually a great point you bring up there, because, I mean, I think I remember reading about, like, the printing press being invented, like, 1,000 years before the Gutenberg one took off in, like, the 16th century or whenever that was. Like, there has to be a need for the problem that you're, or the thing that you're creating too, right? You can't,
right?
Like, you can create a way to make books, but if there's no demand for books, what good is that going to do you, right? That's not going to make you any money. You're too soon. You're too early. So,
right.
I don't know. Like, how many of these projects do you think were just that? They're just too early. And,
well, you know, of course, a lot of projects, they because the technology is here, it presented itself. And a lot of projects, people just figure, you know, this is useful. I can make something out of this. A lot of them are just out of curiosity, just out of human's ingenuity. You know, they feel they can make something. They just go ahead and make something. They don't care. Is it just an actual use case for that? Do people need that? Right? And obviously, most project people actually don't have a need for it yet. Mm-hmm. Or people don't realize they could use it. But, you know, a lot of things, people also create things that people don't realize they need,
right?
And the Apple iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it created, people don't really need it. People didn't have a need for an iPhone.
They wanted the
because
BlackBerry.
The cellular phone just works wonderful.
It's
more than enough. It's already wonderful, right? Nobody would think they need an iPhone. But then people created it and people loved it.
Right.
You know, sometimes the market is created.
Well, I think the iPhone was helpful because it kind of looked like a tricorder on Star Trek. And I think people like that idea.
Right.
I think you make another really good point there, too, that maybe, I guess this is an industry where there's probably a lot more like hobbyists, people like that aren't necessarily like career inventors or startup type people. So maybe there is a lot of projects that don't succeed because they're not necessarily in it for like trying to push something to make like a new Apple or a new Meta or a new giant, right?
Right. Hmm. I mean, projects don't succeed for many, many reasons, of course.
Right.
I mean, it's hard enough to succeed when you intend to make it succeed. It's hard enough. If you don't put in the intentional effort, of course, it's even harder.
So So you've done more than, I mean, this isn't, Dunbeck Meadows not your first venture. You've had a couple other ventures yourself. So like, what were some of the things that you took away from those previous experiences?
Yeah, well, my first business, that engineering business, is entirely different, right? I mean, there's no success or failure, basically. It's like, you know, I got a project, I do a project. It's project-based, right? Yeah. There's nothing. It's not a very exciting kind of thing. It's mm-hmm. very... It's a nice business to give me a good living, right? Mm-hmm. But a lack of some excitement. And then when, after I transitioned to this blockchain space, like 7-8 years ago, mm-hmm. and I tinkered with a few ideas, right? Three or four of them. And then, you know, it's a mistake most people do make. I just feel like, oh, this would be a great thing to make, to create, right? So I try to create those things, but it turns out it's kind of hard to get funding to convince investors to invest in this, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Or probably there are other difficulties that I don't envision, and those investors, they have more experience. They know it's going to be hard to push into the market, so it didn't succeed. But I kept fiddling with different ideas. But eventually, I just settled on this idea and, you know, just focused on it and built a product on this.
Do you think this idea had a better product or better vision or better plan? Or do you think you're just more prepared and you knew now what needs to be done to be successful because of the other ventures that you had and the things that you learned from that?
Yeah, that's sort of the reason that mm-hmm. I feel much better about this one.
What were some of the things you learned from, like, the dealing with investors? Like, what, from your first pitch meeting to now, like, what are some of the, like, how has that changed for you, I guess?
Yeah, the few things. I mean, first of all, I don't know many investors. I mean, I'm an engineer. You know, you're an engineer, you bury his head into actual work and don't go out and talk to a lot of people, you know? So I don't know a lot of investors. The first hurdle is to reach those investors. It was very hard because you don't know them. Yeah. Most of them are cold emails, cold calls. People don't even bother opening your emails. with you, you know. And I did get the chances to meet with a few of them. And of course, it's the thing they ask first is your team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have a team. So the first project, the second one, I would say, the second project,
yeah,
I did have a team, right? I had mm-hmm. two co-founders. At that time, I was trying to build some kind of NFT with NFT technology, like using NFTs as transactions, right, for a marketplace.
Okay.
And I had two co-founders. At that time, I thought I was going to have the technical guy who, you know, had a computer science background. I thought I was going to have him do all the coding, create the mm-hmm. product. The thing is that, you know, he has a family and he has to do a full-time job. He wouldn't have time to build the product in his spare time, you know?
Yeah.
So I was faced with a situation that I don't have a product and then without a product, I have to pitch the investors to give me money. So with money, and then I can have him to spend full time build the product, right?
Right, but that's
harder. But without
a
product, you cannot get the money. You know, so I was faced with a situation of with no eggs and with no chickens either.
Yeah.
So it was hard. So eventually, they both had to give up. They went back to their full time jobs and leaving myself. I just, you know, chugged along myself. Eventually, I decided I have to do the coding myself.
Yeah.
So I picked up coding. So
you had to learn it.
Yeah, well, I am an engineer, and right. I have been, you know, I did programming.
I did programming coding in school, too, but I know if I was to go try to do, like, a complex Python job, like, there's no way.
I did spend some time impressive. To pick up new programming languages, like JavaScript and all those things. Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot along the way. I found that, you know, the best way to learn is actually to do a project.
Right? Yes, I agree with that 100%. So you mentioned, like, the working with the team and, like, the idea of, like, the Like, it seems like you're not afraid to go in there and do it yourself if it needs to be done, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
As the founder, though, like, it's kind of hard. Like, sometimes you have to keep the high level view, and it's hard to do that if you're in the projects all the time. So, like, how do you maintain that balance of, like, keeping the high level view?
Yeah, well, of course, I have to. Well, the two things. First of all, I have the general direction. I know what I want to build, right? And that's always in my mind. And in fact, the advantage of building is building it all by yourself. It's much more efficient because everything is in my mind. I don't have to coordinate with anybody, you know?
Right, right.
And you have the direction. You know what you want to build. And you also, you know, I also go out, meet with people, talk to other people in the blockchain space, in NFT space. I get feedbacks. You know, people tell me how they think.
Okay,
and
I
incorporate those feedbacks and I improve my ideas and I improve, sometimes even change my direction slightly, right? So that's how I moved along during the past few years.
Are you still a one-man team or do you have helpers
Well,
now?
Right now the product is almost done, right? The product is built. So I still continue improving the product, but I do have a marketing team as well working along with me. Right now, the most focus is to focus on gaining users, right?
You have the marketplace. Now it's time to get the creators there.
Right, yes,
so let's talk about now then the marketplace and what you're doing there then. So tell me, what is the need that this marketplace is solving then? Let's start from that point.
Okay. You know all those social platforms, right? Like YouTube,
like
Facebook.
Twitter and Facebook.
And,
okay,
and those social platforms, they basically rely on the creators to give them content.
Yeah.
Like a photographers, YouTubers, then create, like people like you. You create podcasts, post it up there. You don't get paid, right? Nobody's paying for your podcast.
Right.
And, you know, the platforms, they make money off the creators, basically. And the creators have no control. You know, it's all up to the platform to decide how much, when, and how much at all to give you some payment, right?
Right, right.
So your creations, the value of your creations are not realized. It's kind of buried.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that's fair.
I so agree with you.
Right. So the platform I created, right, is a decentralized marketplace. It's built on the blockchain. So for creators, whatever content, as long as it's valuable, you can list it up there, and every uploaded piece of content is minted as an NFT that's sent to your wallet, and that represents your ownership, your IP right, okay?
Really? Okay.
And then you can list that content in the marketplace. For you, say it's photography or music. If you're a musician, you upload your music there. You let other people to license from you. You know, the platform provides different kind of terms templates, right? Like a different kind of licenses, like a personal license, commercial license, exclusive license, non-exclusive license, right? You list your content there with the license you pick, and you can specify the terms, right? How people can use it, and put it in the marketplace. And people come in and then license music from you. If it's just for personal use, then pay for the personal license, right? And then can listen to it however you use it. And some companies then come over here, then can license your music for commercial use as well, right? If they like your music, they think it's good fit for some of the product or services, then license from you with a commercial license. So
that's
how you realize the value of your creations.
That sounds appealing to me as we are constantly looking for music for, you know, intro music, outro music for the content that we're creating. So having a place to be able to go and license rights for that sounds very appealing to me to get away from some of the big box names and giving money away to who knows, right?
Right, exactly. And that's what I thought.
Yeah, I love this idea. So what all can be listed on the marketplace then? Is it, you said you listed videos, podcasts, music, like what? I think we talked a little bit about AI agents.
AI agents. And AI agents, of course, it's right. You know, if you can answer this question to me.
Okay.
Can you imagine, you know how useful the AI tools are nowadays already?
Yes.
I mean, most people know already.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in 5 years, 10 years, anybody have no AI agents to help them at all. Can you imagine?
No. Just imagine how much different. It's only been a year since AI has gotten into my life and become important tool that I have to use. In 5 years, it's going to be – I might not even be making content anymore.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. You know, people use the AI tools, ChatGPT, X, Grok, to do research. You search for knowledge, answers, right? Mm-hmm. You will not be satisfied with just doing that.
No.
Okay? Will want more because they can do more. And that's AI agents. They not only chat with you, your personal chatter, they can accomplish tasks for you. Okay?
Right.
You will demand that. You will need that. So there will be millions and billions of agents, okay, live on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do transactions between themselves.
Billions. Okay? You think up to billions. In billions. 5 years?
We are talking about, not even billions, trillions. We are talking about trillions agents,
really?
Okay?
So they're going to be super specialized
to the number
then.
There.
Do you think they'll be super specialized then? Is that what that is?
Right. There'll be general use agents. They're very specialized agents, okay? All kinds of very niche knowledge, whatever, field.
This is my researcher AI agent. This is my contract negotiator AI agent, that kind of?
Yes.
Very task specific, maybe? Okay.
Right. And you will have your personal agent on the platform, which you can use with a mobile phone very easily, right? And your agent will call upon any agent with the skill he or she needs to accomplish the tasks, okay? And all those transactions will be conducted between the agents under the hood,
right?
Okay. Yeah. So people, if you are an AI developer, you're a computer, you know coding, you develop your AI agent. You list in the marketplace. Right? If it's a personal agent, you let other users license from you because not everybody is a coder, right? Most people don't know how to code and they need other people to create for them. So they just go to the marketplace and license from some reputable developer and get their personal agent, right?
Get their coding agent so that way he can go. Have him.
And they all kinds of agents. Like if you are, let's say, all those supply, not only just agents developed by software engineers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every service provider, even good sellers, merchandises, they can come to the platform. They can build their agent. Like, let's say you are McDonald's, you build an agent there. Your agent will be interfacing with other agents who are ordering food, ordering McDonald's, ordering hamburgers from you. Okay, all through the AI agent. Can you imagine that? And the payment are all taken care of with the agent's wallets. Okay, and if you are news, if your company provide news like a News Corp, let's say, you would put your agent there, so that other billions of agents can call you when they need the news.
Oh,
or you can just charge them by per news or even per article, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Every website can be an agent. You can list it up there. Whatever you can, your website can provide. Okay, anything useful there.
Yeah.
You converted the agent. You list up there so that other billions of agents can just call you anytime. Okay, you make micropayments.
Decide
to charge people.
That's the question that I was asking. Then you mentioned the cost per transaction because that seems to be the way that these things are going to have to migrate towards. How is that going to be? I guess how is that going to be figured out? Is that going to be based on energy usage, or is that going to be task dependent? I guess how complex the tasks are that you're renting. How do you work out the fee schedule on that?
No. Let's say you are a developer. You build your AI agent. Okay.
Okay.
And your agent is a skills agent. Certain skills. Let's say the skill is to job hunting. Okay. I build this agent. It can do job hunting for you.
Mm-hmm.
You set a price. When you list agent in the marketplace, so you set a price. Okay, every call to my agent costs 10 cents. Okay?
Okay.
You specify the price right there. And other agents, when they call, they know, to call this, it's going to be 10 cents. Is it okay with me?
The number you're saying down there is really low because there's so many of these transactions. It's not like these are going to be $100 calls like it is when you're calling a salesman or getting dedicated help from a real person. The cost of that is going to be significantly lower then.
Oh, no. It's all micropayments.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a very small payments.
Yes. Okay. I was trying to wrap my head around that. There's billions of transactions happening around. I can see why you want to be the marketplace that runs that.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so one of the things that we were kind of talking about a little bit on the call before then, we talked a little bit about agents and like some of the stuff they can do, but how do those differ specifically from like an LLM or a large language model like ChatGPT? Like,
large language model such as ChatGPT, you can chat with her or him mm-hmm. all the time. You ask all sorts of questions, give you answers.
Right.
But it cannot accomplish any tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, hey, ChatGPT, can you check my emails for today? What new emails do I have? She wouldn't be able to do that, okay?
Okay.
Because she has no access to an email. But if you build an agent, right? Like right now, the agent's on my platform. You build an agent that you give authorization for the agent to access your email account. Then you can actually accomplish the task, right? You ask her, hey, agent, what new emails do I have today? Check my emails for me. She just, just go into your account, check a new email, and read it to you, or summarize it. Oh, hey, you, Kyle, you got this new email. This is from Kevin or David for whatever, And you just tell her, hey, can you reply to David, say such and such things?
Right.
And she'll just reply on your behalf. And done.
Huh.
Yes. Huh. So that's an actual task that your agent can do.
That's
for
something
you.
That could do now.
Yes,
there's
yes.
There's an agent on your marketplace right now that I can go and crawl my email list and tell me what I have left to do.
In fact, that's something, that's some built-in capabilities.
Yeah.
Any personal agent listing my marketplace, then get this capability automatically.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What other things can they do then? Like, blow
my
mind.
Well, they can also check your expenses, right?
Right.
Once you authorize your agent to access your bank account or credit card account, mm-hmm. he or she can summarize your expenses today. It helps you to manage your expenses, your finances.
Like help spit out a budget for me. Tell me where am I losing money for payments or things that I'm not using. Wow.
And, all kinds of agents, like travel planners, like you want to go for a vacation, you ask for some suggestion, where should I go, how should I arrange my itinerary, and where should I book my air tickets. It can do all those things for you, do everything within certain budget, and, it can optimize for you. And those are all agents could do.
Can you talk to me then about the security? Like we mentioned the agents being able to have access to some things like email, maybe bank accounts like that. So how is that staying secure? How is that? What prevents my AI agent from accidentally leaking those details to something?
For the agent to access your email account, you have to give the authorization, okay?
Right.
Let's say if you use Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through a process with Gmail. They have this authorization process. You have to go through that. You have to log in, with your password. So that your agent can access it. And agent can read your account information, certain information like your name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's public with your account, the agent can read.
Okay.
Of course, they can read your emails and can respond to it too.
Right.
Now, of course, and that information is... The agent has access to it,
mm-hmm.
but that information is not going anywhere.
So it's not going to a
data
center somewhere.
Agent is just computer code running on the computer server in the back. Okay,
mm-hmm.
it gets that information, it reads it to you, but that's it. That information
It's not getting stored anywhere.
It's not read by any human beings or stored anywhere.
So it's actually probably safer then because there's less people actually getting your bank account information. There's not a person out there who could be writing it down.
Right. And of course, and as a platform, we have our policies. Let's say you are a developer, you want to build an agent, you want to uplist in the marketplace. You have to agree to our terms. And the terms include that you have to handle user's information very carefully.
Right.
You have to protect the user's privacy. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's our terms for you to use that platform.
Right.
So any developer will be responsible if they don't, comply with our policy, to respect users' privacy and the security of their personal data.
Okay. So I want to go back a little bit more then to the, you talked about listing the content that you create because I make a lot of podcasts. Like you telling me I could list some of my podcast stuff on your marketplace and potentially have people licensing it to use for their content?
That is all up to you, right?
Right.
If you believe your podcast is valuable, has a value to it. People, other people can benefit it, and you own it. You have the own, you know, you have the rights to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then why not?
Right.
I would highly encourage you to do so. Actually,
I think I'm gonna
And even if you don't want to list in the marketplace, you don't want to sell for money for some of your content, you just want to publicize it.
That,
you can still list it on the platform. You don't have to list in the marketplace. Just upload it, okay?
Oh,
and
so
people can just browse it, listen to it. But if you think it's valuable, people will be willing to pay for it, and then you list in the marketplace as well. That's the second step, right?
Yeah.
And people come over and just pay for it and license from you for whatever use they, you know, commercial use, personal use, whatever. It's up to you. You select the license terms too, right?
Yeah.
In your mind, you probably have something, idea in your mind, how people could use it. Mm-hmm. And then you will select the proper license terms for them.
Yeah. No, I think I'm going to play around with that as soon as we get off the phone here. That sounds exciting. I love putting my stuff out anywhere I can. And if there's a place that's going to be for the future, like, I don't care if my listeners are AI agents or no, I'm just kidding. But no, that does sound amazing to me. What else, what other types of content or what other things are you doing on that marketplace then? Is there, I think you were doing a competition to try to get.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, we just had a photography contest, right? We're going to have an art contest. We're going to attract more artists, right? And, I think it's like a mutually beneficial thing for artists and for the platform. You know, kind of publicize each other and promoting each other, and then get the list art in the platform for free and get a free publicization, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of thing that we, as part of our marketing activity, we have those kind of a contest. So the upcoming one would be art contest.
Do you know when that'll be starting or when that'll be running?
Start talking to my marketing person. We think it's going to be mid of this month, maybe next week sometime. We'll start that art contest.
Excellent. Okay. Yes. Good. We should be able to get that out in time for that one. Is the art one still going? Are the other ones still going on too? Or,
yeah, that one concluded.
Okay.
Who won that? Photography concluded. Yes.
Did you have a winner?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. let's see. George, what else do you want to talk about here? We got a little bit of time left. I think we got through most of my questions.
Yeah, I mean, basically the platform is very versatile. As a creator yourself, every creator, they come to the platform, they can have their own channels, right? And the channels can have all kinds of format of content. You can have videos, podcasts, images, even 3D models. Right, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be like limited to text or videos or whatever, like YouTube.
Yeah.
So the content format is, all sorts of format is acceptable in your channel, and you can also open your channel for subscription, right? And you can have your certain contents you can mark as for my subscribers only, right? So if you mark that, and only your subscribers can access those contents.
So this could be like my, instead of going through the Patreon route, this is another alternative
to having.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can also do live broadcasting on the platform.
Yeah.
And you can do some recording, like if you want to recording some tutorial of some certain website, that'd be ideal. And because the thing is built on the blockchain, once you upload your first piece of content, you have automatically get a chat room, okay? You have your dedicated chat room, you'll be host. And when your guests come to your chat room, your fans, they can tip you directly with a chat message, right? They want to tip you, they send a chat message, and it will go to your wallet automatically. And a receipt will be generated automatically as well as a chat message.
There's
a lot of functions in it. You just spend some time hanging around to explore, right?
George, this is much bigger than just a marketplace. This is almost like your own.
It's like
a combination of YouTube with
YouTube, Facebook, and some OpenSea, NFT marketplace. It's a combination of a lot of things.
So how do I sign
most,
up?
The most exciting thing right in my mind is still the AI agents.
Yes.
It's going to be an economic layer of the agentic web.
How do I make an agent then? Do I have to know how to code or can I?
Yeah, try login. Play around with it. Go in there, log in, and you can create your agent in within 1 minute. Okay?
What? Okay, so here we are. I think I have just finished updating. So now
if you click create an AI agent.
Create AI agents right here.
And you just give it a handle.
Kyle's friend.
Oh. It has to be one word.
One word. Okay.
Yeah.
Kyle's friend. Check availability. That is available.
Give an avatar some image.
Let's see if I've got any in here. Here, we'll use our VicBot signal. Okay. One crypt keys and stuff. Is that simple?
Yeah. Well, that's a beginner agent. it doesn't have any skills.
No. So what does it actually do then?
I take it back. It actually has some skills.
It should be able to check email. Oh, yeah, it does. Check capabilities, check emails and send emails on my behalf. Right, summarize expenses.
You have to give it.
Get out of here.
Give her the authorization, though, first.
Right, but
now if
but
you
it's that simple.
Click.
If I click, it says it's been uploaded successfully, so.
Right. Yeah, if you just refresh, click the logo, for example. Yeah, refresh it. Okay, see the PA, the robotic
right
head right there?
Yep.
Click it.
I'm no name.
Okay,
how
settings.
Can I help you,
give
sir?
It settings.
Oh, look at that.
More settings.
Okay.
More settings. Give her a name. Give it a name.
VicBot.
And if it's a, you know, voice, male voice or female voice, you have the, yeah.
Make it match the voice. Name. That is awesome. All right. Look at that. Update settings. So if I want to pick a new poster, I can update the avatar and stick a new one in there.
Right.
Settings up. That is really cool, man. That's so easy, too. So.
Yeah. So now if you want to see if we click manage my agent here, server.
Oh, there it is. I see it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can shut down your agent. You can restart it. You can.
So if I do this, then that's
you can
just,
delete it. No, don't shut it down. Don't.
Oh,
okay.
Oops. I was going to restart it, but.
Yeah, restart it. Right.
Once I do that, that just means it doesn't like go away forever. It just means like, hey, I don't want them working right now. I'll come back and I'll start it up later.
Oh no! Actually, you don't play with this every day.
You don't ever shut it down.
Actually, you just leave it around there.
Mm-hmm.
If you decided to, you want to get rid of it, you want to delete it.
You can delete it there. Yeah. Well, I don't want to do that yet. I'm gonna make a new friend.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to show me on here while we got it pulled up?
Let's see. Do you have the refresh? Yeah, this is just for beginner for play with, right? If you want to build a real agent that can actually use, you want to pick a personal agent, but you pick the intermediate level. Okay?
Yeah, the skills one I'm looking at here?
No, the personal.
Oh! You can still do that,
intermediate.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So this one, you will have to specify the LLM, large language model. Right?
Yeah, I see that here.
You have to subscribe to it. You have to put in the API key.
Okay.
And then you can add skills to it.
Oh, but you can. So you don't actually have to know how to program the skills. You can actually grab the tools from third parties and stick them in here.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Oh,
right.
That's really cool. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. And if you know how to code, right? And then you can click advanced. If you click advanced, right? Same process, but in the end, see if you scroll to the bottom.
You can write my own payload.
No, here in the bottom, edit
back-end
code, okay? So if you know how to code, you can do some customization there. You can work with the code directly.
And if I don't know how to code, I can really break some things in there probably, huh?
Yeah. Right.
I'm just kidding. But yeah. Okay. Dude, this is really neat, George.
Yeah. Now if you click the skills agent, right? Those are like if you are a developer, you can just come over here and create some skills agent for other agents to call. These are not the personal agents, right?
Oh,
the personal
okay.
agents interface with humans, right? You talk to a person agent.
I see. Okay.
Skill agents, it's just in the marketplace for other agents to call. So they get a charge on per call basis, like a few cents, right?
Yeah.
For every call.
Huh.
And then if you click the resources agent, the tab resources agent, the last tab. Now, this is for like merchandise, suppliers, vendors, like McDonald's, right? Like other new services, like, you know, whatever valuable information you can provide. You come here and you just build it as an agent so that other agents can call you and they pay you for every call, right?
Yeah.
So it's just leave it there in the marketplace. You don't, you know, it makes money for you anytime people, other agents call your agent.
Right, right.
So, and if you are used to card, right, the delivery food service, you put an agent here.
Right.
Whenever people order, then people can just call the agent to order food from you right here.
So you don't need a person answering the phone anymore.
Right, right. Your agent will just take care of it.
Okay, so like right, this guy right here, this is a customer service agent, right? So it's kind of like the same idea. Like all those little help aid bots that you get on customer forms on websites these days. Like those are agents, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that would probably be closer to a resource agent because it's somebody that's just giving you answers to things. He's not interfacing with any of your stuff. But yeah, this is really neat, George. Like I'm very impressed with what you put together here, man. This is really cool. I can't wait to play around with it.
Yeah, thanks. Do feel free and utilize it. You know, you're a creator and you produce those wonderful podcasts.
Hey,
want to come up with some ideas how to monetize it too.
I know, right? I got some ideas, but that's for another day, unfortunately. George, do you have anything else you want to leave us with, man? I've really enjoyed our time here today. Like any thoughts, any last words for the listeners? One last time where people can go if they want to check this stuff out and do it for themselves.
Yeah, just check it out and log in and be open-minded, you know, just... What we have to deal with doing marketing is that people have the preconception of their contents are free, right? There's no value. Mm-hmm. It has to be put out in YouTube or whatever platform and with no monetary return. And they have to realize that their creation actually has the value in it. Mm-hmm. They just need the platform to realize the value for them, all right?
Right.
So Dumbag Matter is such a platform. Help the creators to realize the value of their creations. So people need to change their mindset.
What's the website?
It's dunbeckmeadow.com.
Dunbeckmeadow.com. I'll make sure all that stuff is in the episode description so people can find that easily. George, thank you again for your time here. Hopefully we'll see you around again sometime soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, Cal.
That wraps up a fascinating chat with George Hu of Dunbeck Meadow. From the evolutionary potential of AI agents to building a marketplace that empowers creators like me to monetize podcasts, video, and art and more, it's clear we're on the cusp of an agentic web that could redefine how we transact and create. Huge thank you to George for joining us and sharing his insights. If you're excited about this future, head over to www.dunbeckmeadow.com right now to sign up for free, explore the platform, quickly create your own AI agent, or list your content in the marketplace. Whether you're a developer, artist, or trader, it's a versatile space to experiment and learn. Oh, and don't forget to check out their ongoing art contest starting mid-November. Follow Dunbeck Meadow on social media for updates, and connect with George directly if you have questions about getting started. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review on your favorite platform, and share it with a fellow trader or creator. We'll see you soon with another exciting innovator, but until then, have a green week. Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again,
SPULLEN at fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.